thanks God in prayer. Oh, a peace we often forfeit. Oh, a needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Take your Bibles at this time, please. I know you brought them. I trust you brought them. Open them up to the book of Acts. Before we begin the message, I'm going to pray, and one of the things I'm going to pray about is for one of our elders who is away from us today. Nathan Thompson is speaking at a men's retreat at Camp Jim, and this morning he's presenting his first, or his last, I should say, message. He's been with those men all weekend, and we want to make sure we have his back as one of ours as he ministers, so we will pray for him. So, if you would stand with me, we'll pray and then get into the Word of God. Our Father, we bow before you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come here and to gather with one another and to, in one heart and of one mind, worship you and sing these songs that tell of you and offer our praise and thanks to you. Father, we know that others are meeting right now all over the world to worship you. Father, we think of Nathan as he is probably at this very moment opening your word and speaking again and sharing with these men at that retreat. Father, I pray that your spirit would just flow through him, give him insight, give him a clear mind, and I pray that he will share truth that will be relevant to those men and make a difference. Thank you, Lord, that we can share him with other people and that it becomes kind of a ministry of our church as he goes out and shares. So, Father, empower him right now. Bring him back home to his family safely this afternoon. Guide us, Father. We're going to go into your word. And I pray that as we learn more about your Son, the Lord Jesus, that it might make a difference in our lives. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Forty days from today will be May 24th. A lot can happen between now and May 24th, but that's 40 days from today. That means almost 6 weeks from today. That also means between now and May 24th, we will gather five times for Sunday worship. And as you know, if you were here last week, we have begun a new series called 40 Days. And we are looking at what Jesus did and what he taught during the 40-day period between his resurrection and his ascension. It's a part of the ministry of Jesus that we don't talk about very often. We tend to skip from the resurrection to the ascension. And yet Scripture tells us that Jesus stayed 40 days here before leaving to go back to the Father. Can you imagine how eager he was to get back to the Father and to the glory he shared? And yet he stayed 40 days. So we want to see what it was that he was doing and teaching. We want to think about why that was so important that it kept him here 40 more days. That would be the gist of this series. And we're going to begin looking at that this morning. It happens in real life, and it also happens in the movies, and you've probably seen some of the movies that depict actually real life. And those are situations when someone is taken as a hostage, kidnapped, becomes a hostage, maybe to terrorists, maybe to someone else. And shortly after being taken hostage, of course, the hostage takers will communicate with the hostage's family or government or whatever. And they will demand a ransom. And whenever that happens and law enforcement or negotiators get involved, usually the very first thing that is requested of the hostage takers is what is called proof of life. they request proof of life. They want a picture of the hostage. They want a video of the hostage. They want to talk to the hostage on the phone, or all of the above. Why? Proof of life. They want to make sure that they are not being deceived by the hostage takers. They want to know that this person is alive. And one of the things that Jesus did during those 40 days between his resurrection and ascension was give proof of life. And that's what we're going to look at. Acts chapter 1. First three verses. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So the first thing we see about the 40 days is that Jesus showed himself. Notice, he showed himself to these men, the apostles. He gave many convincing proofs that he was what? Alive. And then it says, he appeared to them. So three times in that passage, it emphasizes, he showed himself, he appeared to them, he gave proofs, many proofs, that he was alive. Extremely important. A very important reason for Jesus to stay a while before going back to heaven. To whom did he appear during that 40 days? Well, obviously here in Acts 1, it says to his chosen apostles. So those 11 guys at this time. And when we read the end of the four Gospels, which talk about different appearances after the resurrection, we find that he appeared to his disciples, those men, quite a few times during the 40 days. Sometimes when they were all present, sometimes when 10 of them were present, sometimes when 7 were present. But he appeared to that group of men quite often during the 40 days. If you put the gospel records together, you find that he also appeared to some individuals. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to a group of women. He appeared to two men along a road. We'll talk about that next week. He appeared, in a sense, to Thomas. If you recall, one of his appearances to the disciples, Thomas wasn't there. And so Jesus made sure that Thomas was there the next time for Thomas's sake. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul talks about these appearances. First Corinthians 15. Starting in verse 3. Paul says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also." So there, Paul gives a list of some of the appearances. Apparently, he appeared to Peter individually. Again, to the group of disciples. says he appeared to more than 500 people at one time. More than 500. He appeared to James, probably the brother of Jesus, who later became leader of the church in Jerusalem. And last of all, Paul said, he actually appeared to me. I saw him. And we know that was on that road to Damascus. So what we see is there's a long list of appearances by Jesus during the 40 days. Very important. You add it all together, you have over 500 people. Well over 500 people. Why is that important? Because there is strength in the testimony of a greater number of people. The more people who give the same witness, the same testimony, the stronger the testimony, right? For instance, let's say, and we're just saying, that I go and spend a day golfing at the wilderness, and I come back to you, and I'm all excited. And I announced to you that yesterday I golfed 18 holes at the wilderness, and on the eighth hole, I made a hole in one. Now, depending on our relationship, that might be all it takes. Some of you might believe that. Okay? But let's say that Todd was golfing with me. Okay? And so he was with me as I come back to you and I announce, you know, I went golfing 18 holes and on the eighth hole I made a hole in one. And then Todd speaks up and says, I was there. I was with him golfing yesterday. I saw him make the hole in one. Okay, that doubles the witnesses, right? But depending on your relationship with Todd, I don't know if you'll believe him or not. Or you might think, well, yeah, Marlon, you and Todd, you work this out together, you know, just to fool us, you know. But what if there was a foursome? You know, what if Tim and Jeff were there too? And when I let you know that I made a hole in one, there are three guys who say he really did. We were there. We saw it. Four guys are saying the same thing. Now, that might be more believable, right? But there still might be some skeptics among you who have golfed with me. But what if on that eighth hole we were quite close to the clubhouse? And there ended up being a little crowd of people gathered around there by the green. And they're present when I tell you I made a hole in one. And so it's not just me, it's not just Todd and I, it's not just the guys in the foursome, but now there's this group of people who are there and they say, yes, we saw it. He made a hole in one. Well, that strengthens the testimony, doesn't it? And then, of course, nowadays, what if four or five of those people produced on their phones a video of my wonderful shot and the ball going into the hole? That becomes a strong testimony of the truth, doesn't it? So the idea is there is strength in the testimony of numbers. And Scripture says, between the resurrection and the ascension, Jesus appeared to well over 500 people. That's a great number. What if the Lord Jesus had not made these appearances? What if the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead and immediately gone home to be with the Father? We would have had the empty tomb, but no appearances. No one would have seen the living Lord Jesus. You know what would have happened? That would have left room for even more doubts than there were. Because just with an empty tomb and no one having seen the risen Jesus, he had room for all kinds of doubts and skepticism. It would have strengthened all of the conspiracy theories. There are a lot of them, right? A lot of conspiracy theories about the fact the grave was empty. In fact, in Matthew 26, you can read it later today, the religious leaders actually paid people to tell a story explaining that Jesus' followers stole the body and hid it. And you can imagine if there had not been any appearances, Jesus had just gone back to heaven immediately, it would have opened the door and strengthened all of these conspiracy theories. In fact, I would go further and suggest to you that if Jesus had immediately gone to heaven, had not made these appearances, the entire course of history would have changed. It would have been different. Why? Because the appearances had a profound impact on the followers of Jesus. What impact did the appearances have on the followers of Jesus? Well, it made them eyewitnesses. And that was important to them. Look at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Let me show you something that these apostles kept saying to people after Jesus went to heaven. And if he had not made his appearances during those 40 days, they would not have been able to say this. Acts 2:32. Peter says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. We're witnesses. We saw him. 3:15 of Acts. You killed the author of life, Peter says, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses. We saw him. And then chapter 5, starting in verse 30, Peter again says, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things. If there had been no appearances, Peter couldn't have said that. But the fact that there were appearances to Peter and the other apostles and over 500 people, those people could go on ahead and confidently speak of Jesus, confidently speak of the resurrection, confidently refer to a living Lord Jesus. Why? Because they had seen him with their own eyes. Very much alive. Do you think those followers would have had the confidence to go out and speak of Jesus as a living Savior and Lord if none of them had seen him alive? I think they would have kept hiding. They wouldn't have had the confidence. They would have had maybe even doubts of their own. If Jesus had immediately gone to the Father and had not stayed long enough to make appearances to over 500 people, it was that important. It would have changed history. Think of how history was impacted by the apostles and the followers as they went out, speaking of the living Christ. That wouldn't have happened. They wouldn't have had the confidence to do that. The appearances gave them that confidence. Otherwise, history would have been changed. And you and I may not be where we are today, have the relationship with our Creator like we have today. The appearances are that important. Besides that, we know that the appearances really transformed those followers, really changed their lives. I mean, they were different. I mean, Peter is an example. What a change. You know, all of these followers were transformed when they realized their Lord Jesus was alive. And they had confidence to go share that message. So they were really impacted by that. What impact do the appearances of the Lord Jesus have on us today? Do those appearances still mean something to us? I mean, do they have an impact on us as we read about it? Well, I think they do. On your sheet, four impacts that I think these appearances of Jesus during the 40 days, the fact that we can read about them, we can look at them, and hopefully believe them, have on us. First of all, these appearances give confirmation of what sets apart the Christian life. You know that the most distinct thing, the thing that sets apart Christianity, true biblical Christianity, from all the other religions of the world, is we serve a living Savior who's in the world today. He's alive. No other religion can say that. That is the main distinction, the main difference. It's what sets Christianity apart. That Jesus is alive. He rose again. And the appearances to over 500 people confirm that to us. It was a historical event. It really took place. And that's important to us, right? That's important to us. Secondly, the appearances of the Lord Jesus become a part of the gospel message. And I don't think we realize that. Back to 1 Corinthians. Back to 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. You know, we talk about presenting the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is reminding the Corinthians of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the message. I want you to see how he presents it. Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 15. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared. Now, typically, we look at that and we come out of that saying, there are two main points to the gospel message. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, right? Paid our penalty, took our place, that we might be forgiven, reconciled with God. And the second thing we take from this as part of the gospel is that on the third day he rose again. He conquered death, conquered the grave, right? And he's alive. And that's the gospel. That's not how Paul presents the gospel here. We're missing something. It's not two things. It's four things. Let's look at it again. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. There's the death. Second, what? That He was buried. That's part of the gospel. That's part of the good news. Jesus died and He was buried. Why is He was buried an important part of the message? It was proof of what? Death. Okay? Is that important? He really died. We don't mention that when we share the gospel, do we? We share about the death of Christ. Paul says the next part is the burial. It was the proof of death, and that is important. He really died. We've got to start putting that in the gospel. He really died, and He was buried to prove it. Then he says He was raised on the third day, the resurrection. Okay, end of the gospel, right? No. Paul says He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and He appeared. And he goes on to list all the people Jesus appeared to. The gospel message doesn't end with the resurrection. It ends with the appearances. That's how Paul presents it. He died. He was buried to prove He died. He rose again, and He appeared to prove He was alive. Proof of life. That's the gospel that Paul presents. The appearances are that important. That important. Proof of life. He's alive. And strength of testimony, well over 500 people. Not only does that present strength of testimony concerning a living Savior, but you realize the more people you get involved in a lie, the tougher it is to keep the lie going. Now, I'm not going to say you've been involved in a lie, okay, with people, but just think about it. The more people involved in a lie, the tougher it is to keep track of all of those people and make sure they're sticking with the story, right? Wow. If you've got over 500 people trying to propagate a lie, that's tough. Somebody is going to leak. Right? We know about leaks, right? So not only is the greater number of witnesses something that strengthens the testimony, but it also makes it much more difficult to keep a lie going. And so it was very important that Jesus appeared. And it really confirms to us this unique thing about Christianity, that we serve a living Savior. It really becomes part of our gospel message. He died, was buried, rose again, and appeared. Third, the appearances produce confidence to enter into salvation and hope. You probably are familiar with names like Lee Strobel, Josh McDowell, Frank Morrison. These are all men who set out to disprove the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And they are all names of men who couldn't get around the appearances. They couldn't figure out a way to explain away the witness of over 500 people. And as a result, Lee Strobel, Frank Morrison, and Josh McDowell, although they started out trying to disprove the resurrection, because they couldn't get around the appearances to that many people, that many witnesses, all three surrendered their lives to Jesus. Intelligent men. But the appearances were one of the things that gave them the confidence to enter into salvation and the hope that is there because Jesus is alive. It's amazing. These appearances, and not just those three famous guys, I'm sure there are other people who will point to things like the appearances that gave them the confidence to surrender their lives to this living Lord. A fourth impact on us today is that the appearances bring meaning to our faith life. 1 Corinthians 15 again. Notice, starting in verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, if He's not alive, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we've testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. Verse 16, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised. The appearances proving that Jesus was alive, that He rose, bring meaning to our faith life. We serve a living Savior. We serve a living Lord. That adds meaning to our faith life. He's alive. What does that old hymn say? He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He's alive. That adds meaning to our faith life. It also gives us an eternal perspective, doesn't it? As we live this faith life on this earth, because the fact He's alive, that He rose again, proven by all these appearances, it broadens our perspective. It means if He's alive, we will be with Him someday. That's His promise. If He weren't alive, how could He keep that promise? But He's alive. So that gives meaning to my life beyond this life. I have an eternal perspective. I have a living Lord that I'm serving now, but I have a living Lord that I will be with someday. And that brings meaning to my life right now. So the resurrection is crucial, but you got to remember the appearances sealed the deal. The appearances were so important. And so that is one of the reasons for the 40-day delay. Put it this way. If it was all about Jesus, and it was all about what He wanted, and if He was thinking selfishly, we would have had resurrection and home to the Father, finally, after 33 years away from heaven, having to be in a human body. Can you imagine the desire? We saw in John 17, He really desired to be with the Father, to have that glory again. But He was willing to delay that homegoing for 40 days. And one of the reasons was proof of life. It was for His followers at that time, and it was for us. The appearances were that important as proof of life. Let me take you to three scriptures and we're done. Let's start with John 20. John 20. This is John's record of that time when Thomas is present. He had been absent when Jesus appeared to the disciples. Thomas couldn't believe them when they said, He's alive. But this time Thomas is with them, and we have that just dramatic time when Thomas sees Jesus and Jesus says, touch my hands, touch my side. What's he presenting to Thomas? Proof of life. Touch me. Don't just see me, touch me. I'm alive. And of course, Thomas didn't need to touch him. Seeing was enough. And he says, my Lord and my God. But remember what Jesus said in verse 29? John 20:29. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's you and me, right? You know? Jesus hasn't appeared to us. We haven't seen him with our eyes. We haven't been able to see the nail prints. We haven't been invited to touch. But Jesus says, that's okay. There's enough appearances recorded in history. And blessed are those who, even though they didn't see, they believe I'm alive. And it's because of the appearances. We believe he's alive. Let's go to John 11 since we're in that book. John 11. The entire 11th chapter is the account of Lazarus' death and the ministry Jesus did there, eventually raising Lazarus. But notice something that Jesus says to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, in the 25th and 26th verses. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never really die. And then he says to Martha, do you believe this? And I pose that question to you. Do you believe it? Do you believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe he's alive so he has the ability to give power over death, that he has the ability to give life eternal? That when he says, those who believe in me, even if they die, they're going to live? Do you believe that? You can believe it because of the appearances. There's all kinds of proof of life in those 40 days. And then finally, Romans. Romans chapter 10. 10th chapter of Romans. Apostle Paul in verses 9 and 10. He says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, what? That God raised him from the dead. He's alive. You will be saved. The resurrection is that important. If you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, that he's alive. And what can give us the confidence to believe in our heart that he's alive and that he rose? He appeared to over 500 people. He took the time before going to heaven to give proof of life. So important. And if you believe that, and you confess him as Lord, anointed King, Paul says you will be saved. Let me just add something that wasn't part of my planning for this message, but because we were at a conference early this week and heard a speaker say this, I'm going to just mention it and talk it out there for you to think about, because I'm thinking about it. And it affected even the outline of this message on your sheet. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but for each of the 4 points here, I referred to him as the Lord Jesus. You see that? You know, to whom did the Lord Jesus appear? What if the Lord Jesus had not appeared? What was the impact on his followers, you know, the appearances of the Lord Jesus? What is the impact on us that the Lord Jesus appeared? You notice in all those, it's the Lord Jesus, not just Jesus. Prior to this week, I probably would have had that Jesus. But the speaker made a very interesting thing. I'm going to trust him. I may check it out. You can check it out. He said that if you look through the whole New Testament, maybe not 100% of the time, but he says it's in the 90 percentile. Whenever there is reference to Jesus, it's the Lord Jesus, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, it's Christ Jesus. Very seldom after the resurrection is it just Jesus. And his take on it was, his challenge to us was, don't get so informal and just talk about Jesus. He's the Lord Jesus. Lord. He's Jesus Christ, anointed King. Do you think that has some credibility? We should think about that. You see, if we just talk about him as Jesus, that was his Hebrew name. You know? But when you speak of him as the Lord Jesus, you're recognizing him as the sovereign God, the Lord, the Master. When you refer to him as Jesus Christ, you're acknowledging him as anointed King. And then if you refer to him as the Lord Jesus Christ, you're acknowledging his lordship and his kingly role. And I thought that was interesting. I'd never thought of that before. It's so easy to just talk Jesus. But if we are who we say we are, if we have the relationship with Jesus we say we have, maybe we should be referring to him more often as the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Notice, Paul says there, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Paul, in Romans chapter 1, says it was through the resurrection that Jesus was declared to be the Lord. It proved he was the Lord. It proved he was the King, the anointed Messiah. That's who he is. And when we confess him as that and believe in our hearts he's alive, and the appearances help us to believe that confidently, Paul says, you are saved. So I ask you, as you come this morning and as you sit there and as you suffer through my teaching, I ask you, are you a person who has come to the place where you have confessed Jesus to be Lord? Because you believe in your heart. You can't refute it. That he's alive. He rose. And he stayed long enough to give proof of life to over 500 people. Have you confessed him as Lord and believed in your heart he's alive, that he rose again? If you have, what does Paul say? You're saved. If not, what a wonderful day. On this snowy spring, it'll be easy to remember that snowy spring day when you confess Jesus to be Lord. And you declared your belief that he's alive. And because of that, you're going to trust Him. And you're going to give Him your life. Because if He really conquered death and He's alive, I don't think going on rejecting Him is a wise decision. Take care of it today. And then keep coming back, and we'll build on that and help you get strengthened in your new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive, and proved it during those 40 days. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You so much. Thank You so much for the choice of our Lord Jesus to not just come home to You right away. Thank You that for our sake He was willing to stay 40 more days and to show Himself and to prove He was alive and had conquered death. Father, that is so important to us. Thank You. And I pray for those who just have not come to that place of confessing Jesus as Lord and believing with full confidence that He's alive. Father, I pray that You would just move them to that confession, to that belief, to that turning around, that repentance.